Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Tuesday. Unfortunately, it can't be a Tony Tuesday. He's not able to join us, but we will bring him back later in the week. However, it was a huge Monday for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get into all of their moves, including the franchise tagging of Bud Dupree, what cuts were made, what restructurings were made, how much space was cleared, all those answered and on this show and more. And of course, with tons of moves happening across the NFL, there's so much to talk about. I waited as late as possible to make the podcast to get as many of the moves involved as possible, but we're here, so we're going to take this one step at a time. Let's get into it. Woo! All right, y'all. It is Tuesday, and we did not waste any time. Now, before I get into all this, just a reminder, if you want to support the show, please hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all the podcast places. If they're hosting podcasts, we're going to be there. If you want to support the show also, you can leave a 5-star review along with a positive comment. Those who do will get their comments reviewed or read out on the show. I appreciate anyone who wants to support and get the word out about what's going on here at Locked On Steelers. You can follow me at Carter Critiques on Twitter, as well as join the Facebook group for Locked On Steelers, where there's hundreds of loyal Locked On listeners that comment every day about what's going on in the Steelers news. It's a good, fun, friendly community. I suggest you get a chance to join it. You'll find some fellow Steelers fans you can get along with and talk about all the craziness that is this free agency period. And boy, was it crazy. Let's start talking about what the big news is. Top story, of course, Bud Dupree is back. And we knew this was going to happen. If you listen to the show, I've been saying it for months. Bud Dupree's going to be a Steeler. Bud Dupree's going to be a Steeler. It was always a priority after seeing how he improved this year. Despite what some people may think, they think, oh man, it was a one-hit wonder. He's not going to do this again. The Steelers disagree. They value his talents. And hey, right now, he's franchise tagged. That means that he's going to be making around $15.5-ish million next year. But this also extends the Steelers' period of being able to sign him to a long-term contract. Had they not tagged him, he could have tested free agency, gotten offers from other teams, and that would have increased the amount of money that probably the Steelers would have had to spend to keep him. However, by doing this, now they buy themselves time. They can negotiate with him, maybe get a 3 or 4 year deal at a little cheaper of a price. Probably not by that much, though. But signing Bud Dupree, of course, sent them into a serious cap hole. So how are they going to get rid of that? Well, it's like what I told you yesterday. If you listened to the show, you knew I said, by the time that you were listening to the show yesterday, you're probably going to see a lot of moves by the Steelers. And they got busy. Kevin Colbert and Omar Khan had their work cut out for them. But they've been finding answers and quickly. So, let's get off with the other moves. First, they made the obvious cuts we knew they were going to make. Anthony Chiccolo, Mark Barron, gone. Anthony Chiccolo opens up about $5 million in cap space. Mark Barron about the same. Two big moves, but a surprising cut was Johnny Holton, who opens up about $820,000 in cap space. You know, it was a kind of a surprise because Holton was a speedster that was a gunner on special teams and didn't look too bad on special teams. Of course, he wasn't much of a receiving threat, but it also, I think it makes sense, right? Because the Steelers got Deion Kane. He's basically a better version of what Holton was supposed to bring. And I think with that, they're also going to be in the market for a wide receiver. And I think also when you looked at Deion Kane along with Justin Lane, you had two guys that could play the gunner positions. So there's no reason to be paying Holton small veteran money for that. But again, that's $820,000 back into the cap. But then, you know, everyone was talking about what's going to happen with Ramon Foster. And it was a very interesting development because Dale Lally had a source that told him that, hey, you know what? The Steelers are shopping Ramon Foster. They're going to look to see what they can get for him. Well, Ramon basically made the decision for them and retired. Guess he didn't want to be cut or have to go to another team. He wanted to remain a Steeler. So he retires a Steeler. Congratulations to Ramon Foster on what a heck of a career he's had. He's been on the Steelers for several years now, worked his way from an undrafted free agent to being a consistent starter that made millions of dollars in the NFL, and as a man of class. He was the team's union rep. He's always represented the team very well. He's been very insightful as what's going on with the team. Ramon Foster, heck of a guy. He will be missed in the Steelers locker room as far as a person who gets to go in and ask them questions. And that's not just from me. That's from, I'd say, most, if not all, Steelers reporters. So those three moves came out. That added up to about $15 million in cap space on their own. So that part was obvious. But then the Steelers got to restructuring. So for those who don't understand what a restructure is, because contracts can be a little confusing, to say the least. But a restructuring, basically, what teams do to restructure is they tell a player, hey, you're due, say, $10 million in this upcoming cap season. What we're going to do is we're going to take some of that money. We're going to make a guaranteed money in the future that you're definitely going to get it. But you're also, so you're going to give us about $2 million or however many million dollars they negotiate in cap space this year. So basically it's the player basically being told, hey, you're going to get this money. There's no doubt you're going to get this money, but we need space this year. And if a player is willing to acquiesce to that, it helps the team out. And usually when the Steelers do this, they follow through and stick with the players that help them out. And, boy, the list came down. So Joe Hayden, right among them, it became apparent that the Steelers were going to try and make several restructurings. And let me just say before I finish reading all of these that I don't think the Steelers are done restructuring. I think that they're going to be able to get a lot of situations going on now. But Joe Hayden's, of course, and these are just reports and what's coming out. Reportedly, Joe Hayden, his restructuring freed up around $3 million. Then they restructured Chris Boswell. That freed up $1 million. Then they restructured, and I thought this was the most interesting one, Vance McDonald, who gave them $2.3 million, which tells me the team basically went to Vance and was like, hey, we need to free up cap space. You're taking a heavy hit, and you're not a big producer. And Vance was obviously willing to work with them on that. And this, again, was why I thought that Vance was going to stick around. He knows that he has value in Pittsburgh, and he doesn't want to just see that thrown away because they think he's not valuable enough to meet his contract. The Steelers do this kind of stuff a lot. This was how they kept that Polamalu and James Harrison and James Ferrier and Casey Hampton team around for so long. They kept finding ways to restructure and re-sign their defense to keep that core together and give them as many shots as possible to win a Super Bowl. So, looking at how they've handled this situation, with all these moves, they've opened up around $21 million in cap space. Now, overthecap.com, as it stands literally right now as I'm recording this show, they have officially the Steelers at over the cap at $5.6 million. Now, my thinking, I don't think that they've accounted for Joe Hayden, Vance McDonald, or Chris Boswell in this. Now, maybe they've accounted for one of them, but it certainly looks like they are I think the Steelers are back under the cap with these moves. And again, this still means that they can still use Stephon Tuitt, who's due $14.9 million this year. The Steelers can move some of that money down the line. David DeCastro, right along that as well. Cam Hayward looking to sign an extension. Maybe that helps them alleviate some more cap space. Steven Nelson is someone that we've talked about being in that line. You know, maybe Alejandro Villanueva, considering he didn't have a great year last year. Lots of stuff to talk about here with how the Steelers are handling it. I really think that they're doing a heck of a job. But again, this is why you guys should listen when I'm talking about this stuff. I told everyone Vance wasn't going nowhere. I told everyone Bud Dupree was going to be at least franchise tagged. That was pretty much consensus, even though there were some people out there that thought, no, there's no way this happened. There's no way they're going to pay for it. Listen to us, y'all. We got you here. Woo. So, and that was just the Steelers. That's the crazy part. Now I'm going to get to a commercial break. We're going to talk about one particular Steeler who got away and got paid. We'll talk about him and some of the other major moves in the NFL right after this break. All right, we are back. Now, boy, oh boy. Man, the hits just kept coming, I'm telling you. And this is why I love free agency. It's March Madness for the NFL. So many changes, so many crazy moves, things we weren't 100% expecting, some things we were expecting, and still is just wow when you see it happen. Well, the one thing that we were also saying, along with the Steelers keeping Bud Dupree, was most likely they weren't going to be able to keep Hargrave unless the CBA would save them. It did not. Hargrave ended up getting paid with a capital P. He goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, a 3-year, $39 million contract, averaging at $13 million a year. A good bit of that guaranteed. Man, oh man, did Hargrave hit the jackpot. Because now he goes to the Eagles, where he gets to work alongside Fletcher Cox at the interior defensive line spot on their 4-3 system. This means that Hargrave, basically, he doesn't have to be the sole worker on the defensive line. He can afford to work and work on his own and probably avoid a lot of double teams on the Eagles defensive front. Good for him. He's a heck of a player. He's a heck of a teammate. And I can also say he's a heck of an interview. He's been always been very courteous whenever you're in the locker room. That's a guy that you want to be around. The Eagles got themselves a good one. And it's kind of crazy because him and Fletcher Cox are going to be matching up with the Steelers at Heinz Field later this year. We'll get the schedule sometime in April. But okay, enough about that. Let's talk about some of these huge trades that happen. And some of these trades bigger than others, but man, they were all over the place. Let's focus on the big one. And there's debatable about if it's the biggest trade or not, but the Houston Texans sent DeAndre Hopkins and a 4th-round pick, along with, I think it was another conditional 4th-round pick, to the Arizona Cardinals for, get this, David Johnson and a 2nd-round pick. They got rid of arguably the best receiver in football for what is a beat-up running back who used to be very good and hasn't been able to stay healthy, and a 2nd-round pick. I am astonished. I don't understand it. Now, there are reports around from people who are in the know in Houston that Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins did not get along, that DeAndre Hopkins did not appreciate some of the things that have been handled within the organization, particularly, I think it was their owner that said the criminals had taken over the asylum or the prison or whatever. And he didn't appreciate that, and he didn't appreciate how Bill O'Brien, I guess, handled a lot of things. So DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, rumor has it he wanted out. So you think maybe, hey, that's that's something. But now you're sending him over to the Cardinals with Kyler Murray, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk. That's a heck of a tandem right there. I know Larry Fitzgerald is on his last legs, but that guy, he defines tough. He's one of the best receivers. In my opinion, he's been the best receiver since I've been watching as an adult. When I look back at everyone, I know everyone, some people are Randy Moss guys, some people are Terrell Owens guys. Larry Fitzgerald's been doing it for far too long and just been a serious threat the entire time. Even in his later years, he has found ways to be effective. So, with all that, I thought that was the biggest of the big wide receiver trades. But, oh no, we were not done. And this is why I waited longer to get the show underway. Because then, the Bills went and got Stephon Diggs. Now, they paid a handsome price. Looks like they paid, I think it's a 1st, a 4th, and a 5th. To get Stephon Diggs, so they coughed off quite a bit, but the Bills get their man. Stephon Diggs will be paired up with Josh Allen. That should be a very interesting group, to say the least. The Bills already have signed Josh Norman in this offseason, pairing him with Tre'Davious White. It really does appear that they're trying to load up to give Josh Allen something to work with next year, which sounds pretty cool. And that was a huge trade. But it was there were also other trades that didn't really focus on offensive playmakers, but we had the Indianapolis Colts trading out of the 13th overall pick, which seems crazy because if many people thought that would be a place to get Jordan Love and get another chance at the quarterback position. But nope, they gave that pick away to the San Francisco 49ers for all-pro defensive tackle Solomon Thomas. That's a huge move because now the Colts defensive line gets a major boost, but now those 49ers can make a serious move in this draft, and it changes a lot of draft boards because a lot of people had the Colts selecting a quarterback, maybe looking somewhere on defense, maybe getting one of those top wide receivers. But now the Niners are in a situation, maybe they can get one of those top wide receivers. You know, they're probably going to be losing Emmanuel Sanders. There's a lot going on there. So pretty crazy stuff there. That was a huge trade. Also, with the signing of Javon Hargrave, I almost forgot to bring this up. It is most likely that the Steelers will not be making any sort of splash in free agency this year. If they do not, they don't sign anyone that equals out to basically Hargrave's $13 million a year. They will be on schedule to basically get another third round comp pick next year because of how much money Hargrave made. So big things for them. Hargrave continues to help out the Steelers with how good he is, and I think overall this has started as well as you could expect for a Steelers fan. So you know, you get to keep Bud Dupree, you get to keep most of the guys so far, and you get ready because now this restricted free agent and unrestricted free agent stuff is going to kick in. That's going to make things so much more complicated. But like I said, the league itself is already kicking up a lot of dirt. There's a lot of stuff happening all the time. People are making moves. People are making phone calls. And there were even more signings in this one. I'm going to take another quick break, and then we'll get into some more of those signings and what they were and how they are going to impact the rest of the league. Okay, so it's like as soon as I'm telling you, like as I'm recording these segments, I'm like, okay, let me do the next one. Oh wait, more news. Great. Things just keep happening. It's so hard to catalog all of them. So we're going to do our best. Okay. First of all, revisiting the Texans. So you know how I said they traded away DeAndre Hopkins, right? They gave away their best receiver, the best receiver they've ever had in the franchise's history. I mean, maybe even if you even go back to Houston as a whole, like if you go back to the Houston Oilers, now granted the Houston Oilers as a franchise are what Tennessee Titans are, that's not the point. Point is, DeAndre Hopkins may be the best receiver that city has ever seen, and they've had some good ones, but they traded him away for a running back that's broken down and a second round draft pick. When they do need draft picks, they don't have a first, they traded that away. Let's just say that the Texans faithful are having a rough time because it was like not too long after that, around 11:40, James Jones of NFL Network, former Packers receiver, of course, knowing Randall Cobb, announces that the Texans have agreed to terms with Randall Cobb on a 3-year, $27 million deal for $18.75 million guaranteed. Now, for those in the math departments, because I'm not sometimes the best at math. Y'all have learned that on this show. But Randall Cobb, that's $9 million a year. That's not going to recoup anything of what DeAndre Hopkins brings. Now, yes, they're hoping that Will Fuller and Kenny Stills can stay injury-free because that hasn't worked out too well. I don't get it. I don't get why Bill O'Brien has a job. I legit don't. Randall Cobb also hasn't had a 1,000-yard receiving season since 2014. And that was 2014. And that's it. That's the 1 year he had it, and it was with Aaron Rodgers. He played for the Cowboys last year. He had 828 yards and 3 touchdowns. I don't get it. I don't understand why Bill O'Brien has a job and why if you're the Texans, you're not looking at that situation and saying, I'm keeping DeAndre Hopkins over him. Yeah, y'all know me. I'm very patient with coaches. But Bill O'Brien has long worn out his welcome in Houston. And they haven't made the mark that they should have with the guys on their team. You know, it'd be different if he started off hot or something, but I think they have, what, one playoff win, two playoff wins under him, maybe? That's just, that's rough. And you see, when you're scaring away your best talent, when the team doesn't believe in you, and this isn't the first one. You know, don't forget Jadeveon Clowney and Laremy Tunsil. They got Laremy Tunsil, I'm sorry, but they, you know, all the guys that they've been getting rid of to make things happen. It's pretty wild here. So on top of that, around the league, more narrowing down of the Tom Brady question happened because the Raiders signed Marcus Mariota. Now, is Marcus Mariota their guy of the future? No, but they're paying him, and right now they're still paying Derek Carr, which means to me, I don't think that they plan to pay Tom Brady. Why would you go get that and Tom Brady? So really, this narrows down to maybe the Chargers, maybe the Buccaneers, but still definitely the Patriots. So I think Tom Brady is going to be a Patriot, like I've been saying from the jump. He was always going back there. So you have that on the books. The Cowboys look like they've locked up their trio that they were worried about. They tagged Dak Prescott, and they signed Amari Cooper to a 5-year, $100 million contract. Huge move on their part. They already had Ezekiel Elliott, so their top trio on offense sticks together, and that was a big part of them. It was also interesting because that was another domino waiting to fall in the quarterback market, was to see what happened with him, and as well as Amari Cooper in the wide receiver market, because Texans fans thought, hey, why not get Amari Cooper? That would recoup everything with losing DeAndre Hopkins. No, they get old man Randall Cobb. Woo! This is just it gets crazy, y'all. This is NFL free agency. This is madness. Madness. This is spot. Yeah, you guys know where I was going with that. Anyways, okay. So continuing down the line, the Dolphins. They get Byron Jones, the cornerback from the Cowboys, who I always thought was really underrated. I think he's an athletic talent. I really liked him coming out the draft. They pay him top dollar, so they're gonna have him and maybe Xavier Howard at the cornerback position. I know he was going through some stuff with the offseason issues, but we'll see how that works out. But two of them on the same field at the same time would be really interesting as far as a tandem. The Dolphins got a lot of draft picks right now. They got something brewing there. They might be an interesting team that could sneak them. And the Bills, they're another team that with all the moves that they're trying to make, that this could be a really interesting season for how things continue to play out. But you know, this is what free agency is every year. It's pretty crazy. There's another report. The Bills are signing defensive end Mario Addison. The Bears signed Jimmy Graham at tight end. There's talk about them looking into maybe Teddy Bridgewater. Honestly, I think the Bears are a quarterback away from being interesting because I will never understand drafting Mitchell Trubisky above all the quarterbacks in that draft. But you know, it looks. I mean, there continue to be new things that pop in literally every minute right now. But what I'm gonna rest on is the big part of this segment is what the Browns did. And because the Browns, not like they would learn their, you think they would learn their lesson. The issue that they ran into last year, they thought they won the preseason, or I'm sorry, the offseason. They thought they were offseason champions, that they had fixed everything. They were going to run the AFC North. This was Cleveland's year. And then they finished worse than they did the year before and got smacked by the Steelers and finished third place in the division. Wow. Tragic. So what are they going to do? Same thing all over again. In the first day of being able to make moves, they signed three players. One, Ryan Conklin, tackle, Tennessee, big money to him. I mean, good player, you know, a tackle. I kind of get it, what they're doing. Fine. That's all well and dandy. Then they go and get Austin Hooper and pay him top dollar at the tight end position. This is also why I was saying do not count on Austin Hooper, because he was going to get paid. And here he is getting paid. And they also signed Case Keenum to a 3-year, $18 million deal for $6 million a year. That is crazy. When you look at all these moves they basically, in the first day, they locked down a tackle, they locked down a tight end, and they locked down a backup quarterback with a lot of money. So now the Browns offense, you got to wonder, can Baker Mayfield, if Baker Mayfield doesn't make this offense work, will there be a national outcry to recognize that maybe, just maybe, he's overhyped? I mean, I said it from before his draft. I was like, I would not take him with the first overall pick. I would take him in the back end of the first round, put him on a team. Only if I had a team that would keep him under control and be able to say, hey, you know what, man, you're not the best player around here. You're not the guy that commands everything. We're gonna give him some leaders to follow. The Browns did none of that, and it has not gone well. I mean, to the point where he, you know, and the endorsements are fine, whatever. Endorsements are endorsements. Make your money. But, you know, the attitude that he brings, and the battling with people in the media, like, you know, he battles Rex Ryan in the media. He always has something to say. And then, like, at the Super Bowl week, he said, you know what, I think that maybe I talk to the media too much this year. Maybe I need to cut down on that. You know, and I'm just like, so wait, so you're saying you're going to cut down talking to the media by talking to the media? I don't think Baker is the long-term answer for the Browns. But I'm not sure what is, because that's the thing, that the Browns, they find every way to mess things up. And here's the thing, if think about this, if Baker Mayfield doesn't get it done with this team, unless they move something, that means this offensive line will have Conklin, his backfield will have Nick Chubb, his wide receivers will be Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr., and at tight end, he'll have Austin Hooper and David Njoku. Now, if you can't produce with that offense, don't talk to me. Don't say anything. Just you know, either get better or keep your mouth shut. And you got to wonder, will the Browns come into this season as loudmouth as they were before? I think they will. They're the Browns. Now, maybe they've learned to at least try to make themselves put less of a target on their backs. But geez, I just, they don't seem to learn. But hey, you know what? That's why they're the Cleveland Browns, and they've been this way for so long. So there's all that being taken into consideration. Again, more moves are being made all the time. We're going to expect more moves to come tomorrow. I expect, if you want a tip on what to expect from the Steelers, this is when you're going to see those restricted free agents brought back into the fold. Maybe some Filer. Maybe some Hilton. That's a big one, because if they're able to re-sign Hilton, it's going to be a $3.2 million hit with Filer. If they bring back Finney, which I think they will, and then maybe Zach Banner, you're talking about getting close to, if not over, $10 million in cap spendings on those guys total. So that's a lot of money to be tacking onto your cap space when you already worked so hard to clear out a ton of it. But, you know, who knows? Maybe the Steelers have something in mind for what they want to do there. But this is free agency, y'all. It is wild. Thanks to all those for listening to the show. Also, if you want to support me in Pittsburgh Media March Madness, I have advanced. Y'all did it again. Y'all rode at dawn. The Locked On listeners continue to be undefeated in the Pittsburgh Media March Madness bracket. We now go up against Jason Mackey, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, doing fairly well already, to say the least. and Mackey's a guy, he's covered all the major sports in Pittsburgh. He's been on the Steelers beat, he's been on the Penguins beat, he's been on the Pirates beat, he's done all those things. But right now, they're about 277 votes in, and I'm winning 69 to 31%. So doing pretty well there. Trying to advance. I'm a 16 seed in the Sweet 16. They said I wouldn't be here, y'all, but y'all got me here. Y'all are doing it. Keep doing it. If you keep voting, apparently ends in 6 days. So we have a week to continue. So I mean, comebacks can happen, man. Jason Mackey, he's a. You know, the Post Gazette, they got some people. Maybe they can make some moves. He also does radio with 93.7 The Fan, but you know, it is what it is. But we try to keep moving on. We try to take it one step at a time. And like I said, I will hold myself to the punishment. I was voted on the group. If I win the whole thing, I will do a show in which I will take a shot of tequila for every percentage point I win the championship round by. And I'll do it during the show so that it's not like I'm just faking it. Like Tony will probably record. I'll try to talk to Tony, see if he can record with me. We'll do it via video so he can watch me take the shot, so he can confirm to you each shot that gets taken. So if you want to see that happen, if you want this to be a show, keep voting for me so I can die of alcohol poisoning. Also, because the coronavirus thing has happened, I did make sure to buy some tequila for this adventure if we get to that point. So if we don't get to that point, I just have tequila that I will just consume at my leisure. But if we do, it could be really fun. Okay, that was Tuesday's show. Thanks for listening. Again, if you want to support, please hit that subscribe button. If you've done it already, please leave a 5-star review with a positive comment. Those things really help me get the word out about the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. Join the Facebook group for Locked On Steelers by searching Locked On Steelers on Facebook. Just click the add button. I'll add you as soon as part of the join button. I'll add you as soon as I can. Man, lots to talk about. Lots more will be happening. Stay tuned. Again, if you're a person, if you're enjoying this, there's no other sports on right now, so you're probably looking to get every little bit that you can. Enjoy this. This is going to be a flurry of information and changes and news that happens, and it's still going right now, literally at midnight. It'll probably be going by the time you get up and you're in your office cubicle by 8 a.m. So get to it. Hope you guys have a great Tuesday. I'll be back at y'all some more tomorrow talking more about free agency and what's going down.